that you're here. Jesus, you're here. Jesus, you're here. And all things are possible now that you're here.
Amen. Let's open our Bibles this morning to Genesis chapter 1. And reading from verse 11. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed was in itself upon the earth, and it was so." Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we have opened your word this morning, Lord, and we recognize the law of reproduction, that you said that every seed would bring forth after its kind. And so, Lord, we understand that the seed is a container or a carrier of life, and that life itself has many characteristics which identify what life it is. And so, Father, we pray that as we would read your word, that it would truly help us, Lord, to understand and to recognize, Lord, your presence when you're here, for you are the life. And Lord, we ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ, your Son. Amen. You may be seated. God said, "Let there bring forth every seed, bring forth the grass, the herb yielding seed, the fruit tree, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And verse 12 says, and we know that "and" is a conjunction, and it links two things together. And in this case, it's linking the very fact that God spoke on the one hand, and on the other hand, the manifestation of what he said. "And the earth brought forth grass." Why? Because God spoke it. "And the herb yielding seed brought forth after his kind." Why? Why did the earth bring forth herb yielding seed after its kind? Simply because God spoke it. "And the tree yielding fruit, whose seed is in itself after his kind." And God saw that the manifestation of his word was good. So I want you to notice that when God says anything, it's a seed, and it must bring forth just the way that he said it would. Therefore, the order of events is first that God must speak it, and once God has spoken it, then it must be manifested just as he said that it would. So when God speaks, whatever he says, it will surely come to pass the way that he said it. That's why in Genesis 55, beginning at verse 10, we hear God say, "For as the rain cometh down, and the snow from heaven, and returns not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void. But it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereunto I have sent it." So we have a law from God and a promise in that law, that whatsoever God says, he will most certainly bring it to pass. Now last week we spoke concerning the characteristics of God's word, and thus the characteristics of God himself, for God is the word. "For as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. And out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." Therefore, what I want you to understand is that when you see the characteristics of God through his age, through his word in each age, you're actually seeing God manifested in that age. His word spoken to take place for that age, when it does come to pass, is God's expressed word for that age, and God is the word. Therefore, you see an expression of God. So when God says that something is to happen in an age, when that thing does happen, it is expressed, right? Then it is God expressing his characteristics for that age. Then when you see the white wig You see, the judge of heaven and earth manifesting his characteristics of who he is in that hour. See, over there. You see, God the Word manifested. So what a privileged people we ought to be. Remember, Paul said, "Now, for now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face." What does it mean to see through a glass darkly? Now we see through an enigma, a puzzle. It's a mystery. But then we'll see him face to face. Now I know in part because it's a puzzle. It's an enigma. But then when God manifests in his true characteristics, I'll know him as he is. I'll see him face to face. In other words, God is saying the characteristics that are expressed through me now will be expressed and openly manifested in that age that my word shall come to pass. That is why Jesus said in John 14 and 12, "He that believeth on me, the works that I do now," in other words, the expression that I am expressing with now, "he also will do." Or he shall also express the same characteristics in that age. Then what we see and have seen in this hour is God himself manifesting himself in his characteristics. So what God is saying is that he will use the vessel of that one that believes to do the same thing that he did in his son Jesus. Therefore in John 1 and verse 14, "And the Word became flesh." God himself, the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is the same as 1 John 1 and 1. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we've seen it, we've borne witness, and we show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we've seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son Jesus Christ." Now we know that Moses was the manifested word of God for his age. And Elijah was the manifested word of God for his age. And Jesus was the manifested word of God for his age. And Paul was a manifested word of God for his age. And William Branham was a manifested word of God for this age. But then did you know that the bride of this age is also the manifested word of God expressed in this age? God said he would have sons that would be conformed to the image of the firstborn son. There would be a manifested sons of God. Then when we see it begin in this hour, we are recognizing that God himself is identified by his characteristics. And God, who is the Word, is identified by the manifestation of the revelation. Now, I'm not talking about those other men, what they teach, where they're trying to say that the fullness of the Godhead is in the bride. I don't believe in that nonsense. But if God had a word to be manifested in this hour, that he would have sons that would be conformed to the image of his firstborn son, then that is the word of God, right? And if that is the promise, the word promise for this age, then when we begin to see that manifested life in sons of God, then we begin to see God manifested again in this age. Now this morning I want to again study the thoughts of Brother Branham that he's bringing forth from the paragraph 72 of the spoken word as original seed. He said, "Jesus is the Word of God. And when he burst it open, that life, the life that's inside the seed, that this life, which is spirit, water flowing over the spirit over the seed of God, will bring forth the life of the seed." Remember, Jesus said, "It's expedient that I go away. If I go not away, the Comforter will not come." He said, "It's necessary that you plant the seed, because if you don't plant the seed, it abides alone. But if you plant the seed, then it'll bring forth much." And to bring forth something else, he said, "There's some other kind of seed than there." Amen. Do you understand? If the Spirit of God comes forth to water the seed, if it's a seed, it's watering, it will produce the life of the seed. Is that clear? produce the life of the seed, for that's what it's given for. Then just to sit around and say, well, I believe the doctrine, and there's no life there, there's no manifestations of the presence of God in that life, it shows one thing for certain: you don't have it. And that word has not been opened to you. Because when that word is opened to you, the life that's in that word is opened. And you receive it. It becomes engrafted in you. Therefore, this morning I want to speak on the importance of the life, because if the seed contains life and it is the correct seed word, then the very life that is in the seed must come forth into manifestation, or something is not right with the picture we're looking at. Because the law of reproduction tells us that every seed must bring forth after its kind. Now we're told how this life comes into us in 1 Peter 1 and 23. He said, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God that lives and abides forever. And that is what we want. Not some still birth by some dead denominational system, but a living birth to a living God by a living word. That's why Jesus said in John 6 and 63, my words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. My words are life. That's why the Apostle Paul quoted in the book of Acts, chapter 17, verse 28, for in him we live and move and have our being. As certain also of your poets have said, for we are also his offspring. I hope you can see that. The word is life to us. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 2, he says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Now I want you to notice how grace and peace comes to you. He said it comes through the knowledge of God and his Son Jesus our Lord. There you are, and that is the doctrine of Christ. Then why would you want anything else spoken to you? Why would you rather have sermons on human issues like focus on the family and how to get along and how to be good Christians and all that nonsense being preached out there, when grace and peace comes through the knowledge of God and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God? That is how the grace and peace of God is multiplied in your heart. Get this knowledge of God and His Son, and you'll not only be at peace with each other, but you'll be at peace with yourself. And you can't be at peace with others if you're not at peace with yourself. For how can you be at peace with others when you're warring within? And how can you have peace if you're under legalism and law? Therefore, grace is what gives you peace. And you cannot understand this perfect peace, which comes by a perfect grace, unless you understand the relationship between God and His eldest Son, Jesus, and sons. All those sermons and doing this and doing that and pressing into this and pressing into that. Nothing but man-made religion. Get into Christ, the Word. And open your heart to the Word. And that Word, which is the life of Christ, will open to you and will release to you Christ's own life that was released on the day of Calvary. Notice Peter continues, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godlikeness, through the knowledge of him that called us to glory and virtue. So if his divine power, which Peter tells us, that the gospel, and Paul tells us that the gospel is the power of God to us. So Peter is telling us here that it's God's word that is his divine power, and it is through God's word that has been given unto us all things that pertain unto life. All things that pertain to godlikeness. That means all things that pertain to coming into the image of the firstborn Son, which was also in the image of God, must come through this word. And it all comes through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. To God's opinion, His values, His judgments. And this word virtue is translated from the Greek word arete, and it means manliness. In other words, no longer a young boy, but now a grown-up man ready for adoption of sons. And how does this growing up into him in all things take place? By his word, which contains the very life of God in it. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 9, "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. But when I was a man, when I was a child, I spake as a child, because I understood as a child, because I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love, these three, and the greatest of these is love." Now, I'm getting back to what Peter said in 2 Peter 1. Let's pick up at verse 4. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises." Now look, God's promises is his word. If I make you a promise, I'm giving you my word. "Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these," that by what? "By his promises you might be partakers of his divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." So we see then that the divine nature comes through God's word. Therefore, when Brother Branham is talking about the seed being opened so that the life in that seed may come into manifestation, then it's expedient for the life of God to manifest itself when the word of God is opened or revealed to us. Then do you see the significance of the seals being opened in this hour? And that the entire book is now open for the first time in seven ages. It is because the seed word is coming into manifestation of its true characteristics. That is why Paul said in Colossians 1, 3 and 1, "If ye then be risen with Christ," and what does it mean to be risen with Christ? The same apostle Paul said, if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead abides in you, that will also quicken your mortal body. Risen with Christ means that the life that was in him came upon you when it burst forth from his side. And Paul says, if this be so, then seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on the things above, not on things on the earth. In other words, get your right focus for the right things for this hour. "For you are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." So I ask the question, how is your life hid with Christ? It's hid under the blood that he shed. And he is your head. He's the head of the body. And when God looks down upon the sacrifice, he sees his son. He sees the head. You're attached to the head through the same blood, the same word, the same spirit. And when God looks down, when I look at you to talk to you, I'm not looking at your tie, Ron. That's not even you. I'm not looking at your arms. I can't even see you. I'm looking at your face, your head. And when God looks down upon the body of Christ, he sees the head of that body, which is his son. And by one sacrifice, we are all accepted. We are all given reconciliation. We are all given grace and peace. We are given access to our Father. Hallelujah. God looks at you and he sees Christ. "For you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. And when you are born of his Spirit, for by one Spirit we're all baptized in one body, when God sees the head, which is Christ, and you are part of that body, then he only sees the sacrifice which was once for all, and you are hid with Christ in God, the Word." Then notice what Paul says, and I want you to catch this, for it's the promise of the hour. He says, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear. And that word appear is phaneru, to manifest in his true character, or true characteristics. "Then shall you also phaneru," then shall you also manifest in your true characteristics, with him in glory, with him in the doxa, with him in the same opinion, with him in his values, with him in his judgments. Why? Because the mind of Christ is now in you. Therefore, being in this condition, then Paul says, mortify therefore your members, which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, or inordinate affection, evil concupiscence and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience, in the which you also walked sometime when you lived in them, but now you also put off all of these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, that's speaking harmful things, filthy communication out of your mouth. And then he adds, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. There you go. The new man is renewed in the knowledge after the image of God that created the Son of God. And Paul tells us that we are to be conformed to the image of the firstborn son in a vast family of brothers. Verse 11. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all and in all. So now, having coming into this image through the knowledge of Christ, then Paul tells us, put on therefore. Put on. He just told us what to take off. Take off the anger. Take off the wrath. Take off the malice, the harmful speaking, the lying one to another. And put on bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all of these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfectness. Actually, the word there is agape, it's charity. What is a charity? It's giving of self. Not taking, but not receiving, but giving of self. And that's the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body, and be thankful. If the people in Africa could have one-tenth, one-hundredth of what you people have, they would be thankful. You've got 99 times more than what they have. 100 times more. Thousands in some cases. Be ye thankful. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. Count your blessings. See what God has done. Get your eyes off of self. When people don't have peace with others, it's because they don't have peace with themselves. And it's because they don't have grace for others. Because you don't have grace for yourself. You're beating yourself up all the time. And then you beat up others. Count your blessings. Paul said, if truly the life, if we've been risen with Christ, when Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall we appear also with him in the same opinion, the same values, the same judgments. When Christ, who is our life, shall manifest himself in his true characteristics, then, if you catch that revelation, if that's open to you, then you will begin to manifest in your true characteristics, which is the same as his, because it's the same life. Because if Christ be risen in you, then put off these things and put on the new man. Put on bowels of mercies. Put on kindness. Put on humbleness of mind. Put on meekness and long-suffering and forbearing one another and forgiving one another. And forgive also. If you have a grudge, forget it. Just forget it. And above all these things, put on charity, which is a bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body. That's where your focus should be. What is this hour all about? People are so focused on today. What's in it for me today? Well, let me tell you, whatever is in it for you today, and you get or you don't get, it doesn't matter, because it's not what you get today. It's what's stored up on the other side that matters. Let's not be so cloistered and self-absorbed that we can't see that God has called us to reflect His character, His opinions, His values, and His judgments. That God said there would come sons of God that would manifest the very image of the Son of God, the eldest son in a vast family of brothers. Do you look at yourself every day in the mirror? And are you saying, am I manifesting the life of Christ? Am I manifesting what He manifested to others? I saw it in Brother Branham. He certainly put himself aside, put his family aside, put everything aside to do only what God showed him to do. He wasn't self-absorbed. He was others absorbed. He lived for others. And as he said, eternal life is living for others. So be thankful. And let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. What kind of songs are you singing in your cars, girls? Boys, as you're driving down the road, you're listening to country western, because that's not ministering to your soul. And you need to minister to your soul before you can minister to others' souls. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as is fit, as is proper, as is the right thing to do in the Lord. Why do you submit to your husband? Because it's the right thing to do. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Children, obey your parents in all things. A, double L, all things. They are your parents. Why? For this is well pleasing unto God. You want to have a testimony like Enoch had? Obey your parents in all things, and God will be pleased with your life. You think God is pleased when children fuss and stew and argue with their parents? Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. Who are you working for on the job? Your boss or God? And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the boss. Is that what he said? Do it heartily as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance. For he served the Lord Christ, but he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. When God can smash down a prophet who is in tune with God, and yet when God was displeased, he suffered because of it. And God is no respecter of persons. Now I'm getting back to 2 Peter 1, picking up at verse 5. And besides this, give all diligence, add to your faith virtue, which is moral excellence and righteousness. And to the virtue, to the moral righteousness, add knowledge. And to the knowledge, temperance, that's self-control. And to temperance, patience. You say, well, I'm tired of praying. I've been praying for this thing for 25 years. Pray for 30 years. Pray until you receive what you asked for. Patience, and to patience, God-likeness. And to God-likeness, add brotherly love. And to brotherly love, kindness and charity. For if these things be in you and abound or keep increasing, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, when life exists, it is always multiplying of selves. When it ceases to multiply, that's when it begins to die. The nations right now, the European nations, the United States, the Western civilizations, are dying. They say if they don't reproduce at the rate of 2.11 children per family, per couple, they will cease to be a culture in years to come. For the last decade or so, the populations of Europe have been reproducing themselves at 1.3. That means that you have four times as many grandparents as you have grandchildren. Now do the math. And within a short decade, like less than 50 years, the Muslims who are moving into Europe have now reached populations of 50% in some countries. It's not long before they will have their way. 1.5 billion of them in the world. Half a billion more than the Catholic Church. Why? Because they're ceasing to repopulate. And notice he says, let these things be. He says, add to your virtue, knowledge, and knowledge, temperance, and temperance, patience, and patience, godliness, and godliness, brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound and keep on increasing, they make that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So I don't care how much you talk the doctrine with your mouth. If it has not been truly revealed to you, there will be no manifestation of the life in your vessel. But if the doctrine of Christ has truly been opened unto you, then the very life of Christ, His own life that was released on Calvary, will come back upon you and will manifest itself in your vessel. And not only that, but as with all life, it will continue to increase and increase in the expression of the divine and self-sacrificial love that was in Christ, that has also been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Then Peter says in verse 9, but he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And that is a very sorry state to be found in this hour of this great appearing. Because this is the hour that we are to receive the phaneru of His characteristics living themselves in us. Finally, Peter says in verse 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Be diligent about making your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth. So Peter said, although you know these things, it would be good if I continue to remind you of these things, lest you let them slip. So we're dealing with life, the very life that was in Christ that he received from his Father. And as I said, life keeps abounding. Well, you see, I read my Bible one time, 20 years ago, and that's good enough. I read the whole thing. Oh, yeah. Well, I listened to Brother Branham's tapes. Yeah, I used to do it. What are you doing today? You still eat today? You still breathe today? Huh? What are you feeding on? Because you are what you eat. Oh, yeah. Unfortunately, the world is eating hybrid food, and they've got a hybrid religion to go with it. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What does the word diligence mean? Diligence. Peter. Focused. Priority. Actively participating. Actively involved. Give diligence. Give active involvement in making sure your calling and election. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So Peter said, although you know these things, it would be good if I continue to remind you, lest you let them slip. So we're dealing with life, the very life that was in Christ that he received from his Father. John 5 and 26. And it's the same life that was released back to us on Calvary. In 1 Corinthians 15, 22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Though Christ and Christ only, or through Christ and Christ only, we have life. All others bring only death. And so if Christ has come in this hour, it is with one thing in mind, and that's to give us life. Preserve our life. That is why his picture was taken and placed in Life magazine. That is why Jesus said in John 10 and 10, I have come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. And so we see that if he came in the Alpha, that we might have life more abundantly. Did he not do the same in Omega? Is he not the same yesterday, today, and forever? Brother Branham said in his sermon, Oneness, he said, what is it? You've got to get the word. Get yourself killed out. I'm persuaded that many of us, friends, have received the Holy Ghost, but we have just received enough Holy Ghost in us to make us to the place where we don't want to lie, we don't want to steal, we don't want to do anything. But God wants to fill every fiber of his church. He wants to fill your thinking. He wants to fill your mind. He wants to fill every bit of you. Just make you completely, totally dead to yourself or to your own thinking. Just so surrendered in God till his words just living right through you. You don't know nothing else but God's word. Just stay right with his word. It is life. My words are life, said Jesus. He placed with them teachers, believing the Bible, prophets that say the truth, that say, that show the same prophecy that they've always did down through the age. What's he done? He's showing himself alive among us, confirming his word. His word, the kingdom of God, is God's word made power. Now, the sad part is that most people just simply do not believe God's word. For if they truly believe his word, they would come alive to his word, and his word would be alive in them. And if the word of God is not alive to you or in you, it is because you are not alive to it. In John 20, verse 31, we read, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. What's the purpose of believing the doctrine? What's the purpose of getting together and talking the word? Just so you can show that you got an intellect? That you know a little bit more about something than the next guy does? That's religion. The Sanhedrin was good with that. Now, Jesus said in John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he hath given me a commandment what I should say and how I should say it. And I know that his word is life everlasting. Therefore, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so will I speak. Because it's word. It's life. So we should also be able to see that God's word or seed contains life. But that life, at least certain portions of it, are revealed or manifested only in certain ages. Now the word revealed comes from the Greek word apokalypsis. And it means to lay open or uncover that which was hidden. So then what we're looking at in the sense of the word being is a seed. Although it contains the very life of Christ in it, it has been hidden as any seed is hidden when it's still in the ground. And as long as that life is hidden in the ground, it cannot manifest the attributes of that life. As Jesus said in John 12:24, he said it's expedient that the seed be planted in the ground. Otherwise, it can't rot to itself and release the life that's in it. Therefore, we're told that in each age, a certain portion of that life is manifested, and it takes a certain light to bring forth that manifestation. Now, Jesus' prayer for us in John 17:1. He said, these words spake Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Jesus didn't ask to be glorified that he could be glorified. He asked that he could be glorified so that he could reflect God. So the world could see that glory. That it wasn't him. That it was the Father that sent him. Notice here that Jesus is praying to the Father and he says, Father, glorify thy Son, so thy Son may also glorify thee. Look at his motive. So we see here that Jesus was asking God to doxoxo, or bring forth in a way of manifestation the very opinion, estimation, values, and judgments of God in him, that he in turn would manifest God's own opinion, values, and judgments to the world. Then he continues in his prayer, as thou hast given him, the Son of God, power over all flesh, that he, the Son of God, should give eternal life to as many as thou, God the Father, hast given to him. So I see here that, that in this verse that Jesus was given power by God to give eternal life to all those that God had given to his Son to quicken to life. Now notice then in the next verse, Jesus explains what this eternal life is all about. And what it will do. He says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. It's not knowing your Bible, brother, sister. It's not knowing the doctrine from an intellectual standpoint. It's knowing him that the doctrine declares. It's knowing him whom this Bible speaks of. Now, this is quite a powerful statement in the light of the doctrine of Christ. He said, this is eternal life, to know the one he was praying to, which was the Father. That he, the only true God, and to know also Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to manifest the Father, whom the Father has sent. In 1 John 5 and verse 20 we read, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given unto us an understanding, that we might know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in the same manner that he was in God, we are in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the one that is the true God, the only true God, and eternal life. So we see here that Jesus Christ in his prayer to his Father, that the apostles were there to hear him, to let them know that eternal life is manifested in knowing the Father and in knowing the Son that was sent by the Father. Therefore, if one does not know the Father and does not know the Son and tries to say that Jesus is his own Father, then how can they have eternal life? They're hoping for it. I ask this question based on what Jesus is telling us here. He says that eternal life is to know the Father and to know his Son. And so what if you do not know the Father and you do not know the Son? Then do you have eternal life? That's the question Jesus is asking. Now I'm not talking about knowing of the Son. I'm not talking about knowing of God. The whole world knows of God. The devil believes that there's one God and he trembles. But to know. To know. Actively have an experiential knowledge. Mary said, how is it that I'm expecting a child or can have this child that you're talking about having known no man, having gnoskoed no man? And Jesus said, this is eternal life, that you know that you gnosko the Father. And when Mary knew the Father, she received seed life in her. You don't know him by just talking the doctrine. You don't know him by an intellectual conception. The only way you can know him is to die to yourself and let him live His life in you. The only way you can know Him is to get out of the way and let Him take over your life. And then when you see things happening that happened in His Son Jesus, that happened in William Branham, when you see your life coming in line with the image of the Son of God, then I can say that you're getting to know Him. And the life is being manifested in your flesh. He did not tell us by knowing the Word we will have eternal life, but to know Him is life. Brother Branham said in his sermon, The Investments, he said, we can be church member and morally right, still not obtain eternal life. Not to know the Word. Some of them are theologians and scholars, Sunday school teachers, Bible expositors. But that doesn't mean anything. Satan knows the Bible better than any of us. The Bible said to know Him is life. Not know the Word, but to know Him is life. Satan also believes and trembles, but we've got to have an experience of death, burial, and resurrection from our old life to the new life which comes in Christ. It comes only by the Holy Spirit, the new life. They said, oh, Brother Branham, you don't know your Bible, but he said, I know the author pretty good. It changed his life. Do you know the author of this Bible? It will change your life. Don't think because you're in the confines of your own house that he doesn't see everything and hear everything you do and say. He's there when you're arguing and fussing. He hears it. You think he's pleased? Learn to shut your mouth. Learn to zip it unless you're saying what he said. Jesus said, the things that I speak and say, the Father commanded me what to say. That alone. Do I say, you got an opinion? Drop it. Unless it's his opinion. You've got some little things you're holding onto that are valuable to you? Let them go. Unless they're his values. You want to be judgmental? It better be his judgments. You see, everyone is so willing to say that the evidence of being born again is to believe the Word, believe the message for the hour. But that's not what the evidence is. It's to know Christ in the power of His resurrection. To know Him is life. And if His Word has been opened to you, then the life of that Word will manifest itself in you. You cannot become born again until the life of God comes into you and quickens you by His life, and His life, which is the only form of eternal life. And they say to believe the message of the hour is the evidence that you're born again and have received eternal life. And then they'll tell you that the message of the hour is God sent a prophet. Now, how could Jesus tell us the evidence is to know the Father and to know Him? And Brother Branham tell us something different. But the fact is that Brother Branham didn't say something different, but in fact he said, my ministry is to declare Him that He's here. That's the message of the hour. The declaration of Jesus Christ. And the word declare means to make fully known or formally or officially, to reveal or make manifest or to show. So then, as John said, that which was we heard, which we have seen, which our hands have handled of the word of life, he said, that's what we're going to show you, declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. So then we can see that Brother Branham said it exactly the way Jesus said it. Because if his ministry was to declare Him that He's here, and the word declare means to make known, then that means that his ministry is to help you to know the One that is here. Know God. God Himself. And by knowing Him, you will also know His Son that He sent. And that is what eternal life is all about. Then to just be able to talk about it is not eternal life. And to be able to memorize quotes or even entire sermons is not eternal life. Nor is it living a good life. But eternal life is to know God and to know His Son. So you see why the doctrine of Christ is so important to us? For without it, you cannot be born again to eternal life. Now look, the same John, that wrote this prayer of Jesus in the Gospel of John, is also the same John in 2 John 1 and 8 that says, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought, which you have worked for. but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresses, that means to go beyond the limits, and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ, hath not God. And the word hath was translated from the Greek word echo. Echoes not God. So those who do not remain in the doctrine of Christ cannot echo God. They cannot reflect Him. They cannot reflect Him in any way. But he that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, that means he that remains in the doctrine of Christ, he echoes both the Father and the Son. And the Scripture also tells us that he that hath the Son hath life. He that echoes the Son echoes life. Verse 10, if there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, what doctrine? The doctrine of Christ that has a Father and Son. Receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Now that's a very harsh thing for John to say. So then why did he say it? He tells us in the next verse, for he that biddeth him Godspeed is a partaker of his evil deeds. Notice here that he lets you know that any that have not this doctrine of Christ then must have a false doctrine of Christ, and thus what they have comes not from God, but from another source, and therefore it is evil. So we see that to know God and to know His Son is eternal life, and there is no getting around that. And this is eternal life, that they might know Thee, the only true God. In other words, when he says the only, that tells you that there is no other God. So it is the knowing of this only God and Jesus Christ whom Thou hast sent that gives you eternal life. Then not to know God and His Son shows a person is lacking eternal life. Because William Branham's ministry was to declare God that He's here, and to declare means to make you know this one that He's here, then to not know shows that you do not know this message. And if you do not know this message, then you do not have the evidence of the life of a new birth. Because to just know that God sent a prophet is not enough. You've got to know the message and believe that message. But if you take and push that message aside and make your own message to be that God sent a prophet, and that is all you want to believe or have, then you're just fooling yourself to what the message is really about. And it shows that you're not even born again. And let me ask another question. How many of you love God? All right. How many of you love your children? All right. If you love your children, do you go a day without talking to them? A week without talking to them? A month without talking to them? If you really love someone, you can't help but to talk to them as often as you can. Right, Nick? What about God? How often do you talk to Him? He's your Father. He loves you. You see what I'm saying? Is there a daily relationship going on? Is it a personal relationship going on? You as a person with the person of God. Jesus said in John 17:4, I have glorified Thee on earth. I have shown to the world Your opinion, Your values, Your judgments while here on earth. I have finished the work which Thou gave Me to do. And now, Father, glorify Thou Me with Thine own self. And now, Father, impart this opinion, Your opinion, Your values, Your judgments to Me with the glory, with the opinion, value, and judgment that I had before the foundations of the world. I want to manifest You, Father, to the world. And I'm asking You to do so. How many pray that every day? How many ask God to use you today? Manifest Yourself to this world through me today, Father. Make me a servant, humble and meek. I have manifested Thy name unto the men which Thou gavest Me out of this world. Thine they were, and Thou gavest them Me, and they have kept Thy word. Now the word kept here is from a Greek word which doesn't mean to to grab it. It means to attend to carefully. They have attended to the word which You gave to Me to give them. They've attended to it carefully. So I see when Jesus tells us they have kept God's word, it means that they have been careful and attentive to it. They have paid close attention to the word that You gave Me, and they know that that word is you. For you are the word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given to me are thee. Are of thee. Notice verse 8. For I have given unto them thy word which thou gavest me, and they have received them. They have attentively participated in them, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou did send me. I want you to notice here that Jesus is saying in this prayer, he lets us know that he gave us the word which God hath given to him. For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me. And he then tells us that not only did he give us the word which God gave to him, but we received that word. And they have received them. And the word received was translated from the Greek word lambano, which means to take to oneself, to lay hold upon, to take possession of, to appropriate to oneself for the purpose of using it for the benefit as though it belongs to us. And then Jesus lets us know that in receiving the word of God that God gave to him, he passed it along to us. And we come to an understanding of God and how that why and why that he sent his son. For I have given unto them thy words which thou gavest me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. And this is important for us to see, because Jesus is witnessing back to the Father that the word that he gave to his son, he was passing along to us. And in doing so, we received the word and knew where it came from, and thus know the difference between the Father and his son. And this is not just a mental understanding he's talking about, but the word receive means to take into yourself that we might apply it to ourself. In other words, it speaks of a living word that when received becomes alive to us and in us, and we live out the very word which was given to us. Thus we become the word manifested in our vessel. For it was given to us for our benefit, and that is to come alive in us that we might have eternal life. And that means that we will know the Father and we will know his Son, and how God works in all of his children, making his very word live out in each and every one of us. That, brother, sister, is God manifesting his attributes through his children. Acts 17:28, for in him we live, and we move, and we have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Ephesians 3:19, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able, not what you and I can do, but unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. So it is not us doing, but Christ worketh in you. And Paul says, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all the ages, world without end. Amen. May God work through you into the church his values, his opinion, his judgment. May you be the instrument that manifests it in and through the church. And now remember, the real gift of God is to get yourself out of the way. Then the man has nothing to do with it. Then it's not Brother Branham, that was a mighty prophet, or Brother Vail, who's a profound teacher. That is all a bunch of nonsense. We should say that is God doing this or teaching this. That's God manifesting his identity, manifesting his attributes to us through his word. For by one Spirit we're all baptized into one body. It's God that is doing what we need to have done. Brother Ram was quite frank when he said that God needs me no more than a hole that is left when you stick your finger in a bucket of water. That's what he said about himself. And that's the attitude we should have. If God doesn't use me, he'll use someone else. So please, God, do use me. 1 John 5:10, he that believeth on the Son of God hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. Verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life. He that echoes the Son echoes life. And he that hath not the Son of God, he that echoes not the Son of God, echoes not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you might know that you have eternal life. How do you know that you have eternal life? You echo it. You echo it. You reflect it. and that you might believe on the name of the Son of God. And how did Jesus get it? How did Jesus get his name? He got it by inheritance. How do you receive your name in the family of God? By inheritance. How do you become manifested sons? Because you are sons. Beloved, now are we sons. He might not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he begins appearing, when his phanerou takes place, we're going to phanerou. So get into Christ and let him phanerou through you. John 3:36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth upon him. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Father, we believe, Lord, that you're waiting upon your bride. I believe, as your prophet said, you're waiting for us to get ready for a rapture. The people could have left Egypt when Moses was ready, but the people weren't. So Moses fled to the wilderness for 40 years until the people got desperate. They got to a situation of desperation. And finally, you sent them their deliverer. We had a prophet on the scene. The people weren't ready. The people were mesmerized by watching the supernatural, but they weren't willing to let go and let God. And so you took the prophet from the scene. But now I pray, Father, that you would finish the work which you've begun. You came down with a shout. We pray, Father, for the voice and for the trump. And we pray that the manifestation of the sons of God would conform to the image of your dear Son. Manifest your characteristics of your word for this age, which is sons coming into the image of the eldest born Son. May we, Father, come into that image and express that image to the world. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. What number is it? 375.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou biddest me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come. I come. Just as I am, poor, wretched, and blind, sight rich as healing of the mind. Yea, all I need in thee to find, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God.
Service Wednesday night. Next Saturday will be communion, 7 o'clock. God bless you all.